At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. You know the drill. We come to you every Wednesday. This week's guest, Grant Field. Grant is the coach of the Open champion, Cam Smith. I was down in Australia last week and had a chance to sit down and talk to him. I'm a huge fan of the work that he does, and I think the work that he has done with Cam has been amazing. He talks a lot in the pod about how he's been Cam's coach since about Cam was 10, 11 years old, and that's a rarity to have an opportunity to work with a junior player that long, and the success that they've had, but the way they work with him and how he works with Cam on his swing. And I think it's a really, really good insight to a player that isn't necessarily kind of out of that factory of players. You know, Cam isn't, you know, he isn't 6'1", 6'2", doesn't bomb the golf ball miles, has a very kind of unique individual golf swing, but it works. He's a great player. That breakout year last year to win the Players' Championship and the Open Championship, and the way he won the Open Championship in that historic, in my opinion, one of the great duels in Open Championship history down the stretch with Rory McIlroy. We talk about that. We talk a lot about that with Grant. But really, I think this is also an opportunity for everyone listening. It's about junior development. It's about developing a player from a young age and how you go about doing that. So I'm excited for everybody to hear Grant talk about it. Probably because Grant lives full-time in Australia, he's not a household name for a lot of people than, you know, in the instructor train. But he's one of the best out there, and he's doing great work. So sit back and enjoy listening to Grant Field. Grant, we're down here in Australia for the LIV event. Before we start talking about Cam Smith, who I know you've worked with since he was a junior, the fact that any tour would come here, whether it was the PGA Tour, whether it's the European Tour, but the caliber of players that are here this week on display for Australia, for the fans in Australia, but for golf in Australia, how important do you think this week is for golf in Australia?
I think it's massive. I think, you know, like, to be perfectly honest, I've been involved with golf now. I've been playing since I was an 11-year-old kid, and, you know, we've never seen a field like this. I mean, even go back to the days where, you know, Nicklaus would come out and Palmer and those guys and Player, but we didn't have the depth that's in this field today. You know, like, the top end was really quite strong, and the same as when, yeah, we used to, you know, we'd get guys from different times where, say, Rory'd come out or Jordan would come out or somebody'd come out, but it'd only be one or two guys. And maybe even around the Presidents' Cup, we'd get a couple more for an Aussie Open. But to have a field like this, it's got, I think, 13 major winners, you know, like just doesn't happen. So, and you can tell by the crowds, like, this is nuts this week. You know, this is something that we've never seen. And, you know, arguably, you know, even at the biggest golf tournaments and majors in the, you know, that's what it feels like out there.
It really does. I mean, to have all of these great players in one place, obviously the fans, they get to see it, but there's so many, I mean, we've seen so many kids here, so many junior golfers. Australia, I mean, it took me almost 2 days to get here. It's a long way from everywhere
else. You guys,
And to come down here, it's always so special. It's always so much fun. But for the junior golfers that are here that get to see these players, what impact do you think it has and can hopefully have on future generations of golfers to see, you know, guys like Brooks, guys like DJ, Phil, Cam, but all of these great players in one place?
I said to Cam yesterday, I said, like, if you have a look at the amount of kids that are around, and like you said, take away whether it's Liv or PGA Tour, like, these kids now are attracted to golf, you know? Like, they've seen these guys on the range. They're, you know, they're so invested now in watching these guys and their careers. And, like, all of us, you know, we all had our heroes growing up. For us in Australia, it was Greg, you know? I said, like, and now, you know, that, like, Wade talked about it the other day. He goes, like, Greg was an idol of mine. Now I'm playing on a tour that he's the commissioner for. And, you know, like, they went out shark diving the other day. Like, that's what dreams are made of. And you see it all the time. You see, you know, those stories about a young kid meeting, you know, their idol, and then them becoming that later on, you know. So I don't doubt there's a kid here this week that'll, you know, play on tours, and they'll say, I remember the time that I saw Cam Smith or Dustin Johnson or whoever it might be play golf at Live Adelaide, you know. So it's very cool.
And listen, this golf course, Grange Golf Club, what a really cool place. It's not something that anybody would think would be, you know, one of the greatest golf courses in the world, but talk to me about what makes Australian golf course design so special. Because when I come to these golf courses in Oz and you see, to me, the bunkering is the best bunkering anywhere in the world. The way that the bunkers are right up on the greens and then they just basically fall off. Why do you think the design of these golf courses are so unique and so special?
Yeah, I think if you look, especially in Melbourne and in Adelaide, you know, we sort of get that. We don't so much get it up in Queensland, but, you know, the bunkering, like you said, is out of this world. And if you shortside yourself in this bunkering, unless you're holding a 20-footer, you're probably not getting up and down. So it then forces you to be strategic about your play, right? So, and then what you'll find, I mean, this week in Adelaide, they had a heap of rain last Saturday night, which sort of softened the greens a little bit. These greens get like they normally do, and they're a bit firm. So all of a sudden, you know, they're firm, they're fast, you know, there's some good slope in them. And then you get into some of those short bunkering, and, you know, it's challenging. So you're not overly long, you know, but again, you know, you'll see the guys this week, you know, a few irons off tees, and you don't see that much these days. You know, you see them hit a lot of drivers, whereas around here, you know, you've got to be in the fairway and you've got to be coming from the right spot. And if you're not, you get penalized.
One of the things that I DJ was saying about a lot of these greens are raised up greens, and there isn't any real rough around the greens, but there are a lot of slopes. And DJ was saying, you know, as short as the golf course is and as easy as it might look, you get out of position going into the green and then gravity takes off and the ball will go to a place to where you're struggling to make par.
And then it's really tight and you're over a bunker to a short pin. And, you know, like you said, there's a couple of holes out there where you can land at middle of the fairway and finish in the right rough just off the green, right? And then, like you said, then it's a challenge to get the ball up and down from there. So I think, you know, look, I mean, the guys are going to, you know, do well around here. And like you can see, you know, Taylor shot 10 under yesterday. I mean, probably didn't see 10 under out there, but you can see 6, 7, 8. But equally, it's not hard to shoot over par. So I think it's a great test. And I think it's great because it's not what they play every week.
Oh, it's so special. Cam Smith. I just can't say enough about Cam as a person, but as a golfer, I mean, he's unbelievable. Talk me through the story. I mean, how long have you been working? When did you first meet Cam?
So I first met Cam when he was 10. So I was coaching a junior squad up on the Sunshine Coast. So his golf club was in our region, and he came to this clinic as a 10-year-old, and they split up the group. So there was three coaches, three players per coach. He was put in my group. thankfully, as it turns out now. But yeah, he was put into my group, and then so we did the clinic, and you know, I actually, even at 10, you know, he was a cheeky little thing, and you know, had a great relationship. And then the next year, his dad sort of said to me, "I think it's time for him to have, you know, coaching. He really likes you. You know, are you interested in coaching him?" And you know, I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, like not thinking, you know, 19 years later, we're going to be where we are now. But, and then the next year he came back into that squad and same thing, you know, he just kept progressing. And then, you know, he's, you know, obviously at 10 or 11, he showed promise, but.
Well, what did you see? Because, I mean, we all see these kids, right? I mean, yep. we both do the same thing.
Yep.
You work with juniors and stuff. It's like last year, I met Tom Kim for the first time in Saudi Arabia, who's gone on to do great things. He played with DJ for the first two rounds in Saudi Arabia. I kind of watched the way he handled himself. Obviously, he's not 11 or 12, but I immediately called Trevor Immelman, who I've had on my podcast before. I called Trevor and I said, "Listen, man, you've got to look at this guy for President's Cup." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. I was like, "This kid has something." What did you see in Cam at a young age that were some of the qualities that you think helped him get to the stage and the place that he is in his career now?
Yeah, so I mean, as a like 10, 11 year old, I wouldn't say that I was thinking that this kid's going to be a superstar. I thought, you know, one thing he did have was his competitiveness. You know, like we would have chipping comps and putting comps, and even at that age, like he hated to lose, and very rarely did he lose against much older kids, right? But it wasn't until he was about, I reckon, 14 or 15, where I really started to think this kid's going to be, you know, really good, right? He started to compete in some, you know, some amateur men's events, and I remember him shooting 29 around the back nine at Pacific Harbour in like the Queensland Amateur, which was at the time one of his biggest events that he played, and he shot 66 the first round as a 15-year-old. And Pacific Harbour is a really tough course, blows a lot, tricky little thing, you know. And I went, okay, this is, you know, not many kids have got that, right? And you know, as he's progressed, you know, one of the things I think that helped Ken is that he didn't have that length, or he didn't have, you know, so he had to develop so many other skills. And you know, obviously a lot's made of his short game and his putting, but I think his competitiveness and his drive to just, you know, not let him beat you, and the mindset behind that, you know, like one of the things Cam always does really well is he's never had a handbrake, you know, and he's like, whenever he's gone low from a very early age, he just never stopped. I remember once he shot 24 under in a Greg Norman Junior Masters. So it was a tournament we have down here, and you know, so he was leading his
shoot. How old is he?
He's about 16 or 17 at this time.
24 under when you're 16 yeah. years old. I don't care where you're playing. I don't care if it's a pitch and putt
and there's no rough,
there's easy golf courses. If you can shoot low scores, especially if you can shoot low scores, Grant, at a young age, that's a huge, huge thing, because not a lot of players know how to shoot low scores.
No.
And we always, you know, we have parents, we have players, and I sure you get this. Hey, what do the great players do when, you know, they get a good round going? And you see these kids, right? Hey, you were 6 under through like 13 holes, and then you ended up finishing 3 under. What happened? And they're like, "Well, I just started to protect." And they say, "Well, what do the good players do?" If one of the best players in the world gets to 6 under, he's trying to get to 7 under, he's trying to get to 8 under, he's trying to get to 9 under.
Well, and that was the thing with that event, right? So through 3 rounds, he was 16 under, okay? And 15 under. And he rings me and I said, "How'd you go?" And he goes, "Yeah, pretty good." And I said, "What'd you shoot today?" And he goes, 9. And I went, 9 under? And he goes, "Yeah." So like he's leading and then he finishes by shooting 9 under to finish 24 under for the event. And I'm just like, you know, and I think Mav Ancliffe, you know, who's played in Europe and, you know, got to like maybe 16 or 17 and the next behind them was like 3. Like they streeted the field. Like even back then, you know, like it was just, you know, really uncommon to shoot that low at that event. And, you know, they're the sort of things that he was doing early on. And then, you know, he's one of the things I think is the best things that Cam's done is he's continued to get better, you know, every year.
And that's,
you know,
that's one of the mantras that I always say to players. If you can just every year get better, whether it's 1%, everybody thinks, okay, I've got to get 100% better this year. I've got to get 20. You just need to get, you just can't have a year where you go backwards if you want to keep going in a trajectory that's going to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, and sometimes getting better is actually doing the same thing more often. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes I kind of look at it when I work with a player, I'll go, okay, is what you're doing currently good enough for you to do what you want to do? Right. And if the answer is no, is it a work in progress? Right. So we're on the right path. We just need to stay the course, or B, will it never be? Right. So if the answer is it'll never be, then something needs to change. Right. But if the answer is we're on our trajectory that we're on, we've just got to get better at it, you know, and whether it be a technical thing, whether it be, you know, just getting more comfortable being out on tour, you know, like I look at Jed at the moment, I think, you know, you and I have talked about this. Jed's got, you know, a really, really big upside, and he's got, you know, a big set of tools. He's just got to get more comfortable being where he is. And, you know, that takes time. You know, and I think so he's on the right trajectory. We're not looking to change things. We're just looking to get better at them.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Jed Morgan's a guy that's on Cam's Ripper team. Was there a discussion Cam took? I mean, there's two routes, right? You can go, especially if you're from Oz, and you know, those roads are well traveled. You know, the modern generation, Adam Scott, even though he went and Scotty played 1 year in college golf, he made the decision to go play college golf in America. Even though he played 1 year at UNLV, he took that route. Was there ever a discussion with Cam? Did he look at playing college golf in the States?
Not really. Yeah, he's not smart enough. No, to go to college. No, that's not true. I guess one of the things with Australia, so back when Scotty was going through, there wasn't really the support of the programs for him to follow, whereas now, you know, in golf in Australia, we have, you know, in Queensland, we have the Queensland Academy of Sport program, we have the, you know, Victorian program, and New South Wales has got a program. So, and they're all Golf Australia programs. So, and then once players go through those programs, we also have a rookie squad, okay, and the rookie squad is the young pros. So we have a private investor who, you know, funds, you know, a lot of the young kids when they go out and tour. So there's money for those kids to then, you know, in those first sort of 3, 4, 5 years of their young pro life, I guess you could say, to help support them. So we actually have a pathway which a lot of them can follow. So my sort of take on it is, if you've got a young guy that wants to go to college and wants to get a degree and wants a life experience and all those things, it's a great opportunity to go to university in the States. But for the guy who just wants to be a golfer, I think we can take part, you know, take care of that early part of that next level of development. And I think that's one of the things sometimes, I think, you know, a lot of the good colleges have it, but some of the other ones, there's not really that development piece for when they go over there. And whereas I think that age between sort of 18 and that 22, 23, they've still got to get a lot better before they're ready to go out on tour.
So Tiger, when my dad worked with Tiger, he was at Stanford. He played at Stanford for a number of years. And then there got to a point to where, you know, my dad was looking at his game, and Tiger had really wanted to turn pro. And my dad kept saying, no. So there was that moment where T-Dub said to my dad, what do you think? And my dad said, yeah, you're ready to go now.
Yep.
When was the moment when you said to Cam, all right, you are now ready to turn pro and make a career of this and give this a real chance and see how far you can go?
Yeah, so he turned pro at 20. So Cam got into a lot of, say, Aussie tour, professional events from about the age of 17.
And the scary thing is that's back when there actually was a tour down here.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's no tour to play here.
There is, but it's not really.
You know what
I mean. Yeah, exactly right. You know, and so Cam had sort of finished fourth in a Queensland PGA, had finished 10th in an Australian Open. It had some really good, results in bigger events. And for me, a lot of people would say, why hasn't he turned pro yet? And it's like, because he's not ready, but he wasn't ready for the level what we wanted him to be. He could have played golf in Australia and he would have made money and he probably could have gone to Asia or whatever, but we just thought that little bit of extra development was going to pay off in the long run. And looks like we sort of made the right choice. I think
I had Cho Min Thot, who was the commissioner of the Asian tour. The road that Cam went is not the road that a lot of people that win majors. He didn't go play the Corn Ferry Tour. He didn't go play the PGA Tour. He started, not a lot of people know this, he started down in Alls, and then he went and played kind of in the Asia Pacific region from a professional level. He played Asian Tour. Did he go play in?
Well, there's a story to that.
All right,
let's hear it. So basically, Cam went to Corn Ferry, or at the time, web.com.
He went. That's right, I knew that, yes.
And missed his tee off time. So, for Cam, so what happened was when he was leaving, we're like, you haven't got a lot of time to prepare, mate. And he goes, no, I'll be fine. I've been to the Woodlands at plenty of times. We have a Golf Australia camp there, or we did have a Golf Australia camp there. I've played there heaps of times. I'll be fine. And we're like, okay, no worries. So anyway, he gets over there and, gets to go and have his practice round on the Tuesday. And he goes over to the tee and says, oh, am I right to go out and play? And they said, oh, sorry, who are you? And he said, oh, Cameron Smith. They said, you've missed your tee off time. And he went, sorry? He thought the tournament started on the Thursday, like every tournament known to man.
No way.
And the actual tee off was on the Tuesday, and he'd missed his time. So that day I'm scrolling through the list, and I couldn't find him. I went back up, couldn't find him, and then I went down to the bottom, and it had disqualified. Next minute the phone rings, and Cameron's on the phone, and, obviously upset, and he's just flown all the way over there, and anyway, so at that moment I said, well, all right, we go to Aussie Tour School, we get a card there, we go to Asia, and I said, we'll work on backdooring ourselves onto a tour. And I didn't think it'd be as quickly as it was, because what happened was he got his Asian Tour, we got both cards, and then got his Asian Tour card, finished second in his second Asian Tour event, and then had I think maybe six or seven top tens, and then got into the CIMB Classic, which used to be in Malaysia.
Malaysia, yep.
Yep, and ran fifth in that event, which got him a start the next week, and then he got some sponsors invites, and basically, so look, he ended up on the US Tour way quicker than he would have if he actually went through web.com and had to go down that path. So, at the time, it felt like we'd missed an opportunity, but by sort of rerouting and taking another opportunity, he ended up there probably, like I said, quicker than he would have.
Do you think, going through that experience, a lot of players don't come back from that, right? You're young, you're from Australia. You're in the States trying to go to web.com, Q school. You miss your tee time by your own mistake. And that could be a huge setback. Knowing Cam and being around him and kind of watching him, you can tell that his personality lends itself to him just going, I'll shake that off, made the mistake, and I'll just move forward.
Well, I think one of the biggest things, we were really quick to set a new path. We didn't let that define us. It was like, okay, the sooner we could go, right, this is now our new direction, and we'll get there another way, and that's the sort of the way we went about it. And, and like you said, you've got to have the right sort of attitude, which he has. And, like everybody, there's plenty of knocks out on tour, it doesn't always go your way, and he handles them just about as good as anybody.
One of the things I love about Cam is he's a little bit of an old school throwback. The golf swing certainly isn't anything like what we see the modern golf swings look like now. He's not blessed with the size of guys like Adam Scott and, the big, tall guys that have, these beautiful, everything. So he's a little bit kind of old. My dad loves Cam Smith because he's a little bit across the line, the face and stuff. That golf swing, Did he have that golf swing from the start? Did it evolve? Was it taught to him? And has there ever been a want or a thought to try and change it to make... It's not that it's not orthodox, because there's so many people, you know, in the 80s and 90s that swung like that. But the modern golfers now, the club tends to point way more to the left. It's way more, you see more guys now laid off and flat in their arms than you do see kind of that little bit across the line that Cam has.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, he didn't actually have most of that growing up. And if you watch, like, with the shorter stuff, it's pretty neutral and pretty online, neutral. Right? Yeah. So it's as the club gets longer and, you know, especially with sort of driver and three wood, one of the things that happens is, you know, his arms sort of over travel a little bit, that right arm gets a little bit behind him. And when that happens, he sort of has to side bend. And because he's a little shut, and it's interesting because as those arms travel a little bit longer, club face shuts a little bit more. And then as soon as he has to side bend with a shut club face, now he's swinging too far right with a shut face, right? So he's got both. So when Cam's hitting his fade, like, he's a really good driver of the golf ball. So for me, it's like really important that we hit the right shot. You know, like I said, I think one of the things, being as good as he is they tend to want to hit both ways and hit all the shots. Whereas, and through the bag up until that top end, he's fine to do that. But once he gets to that driver and through, he really needs to hit that little fade to match up to what he does. And when he does that, it's fantastic. It's just, you know, look, we are trying to get, you know, where he's maintaining a little bit more width, where he's got a bit better structure of the arms and the body at the top. But I think, you know, being a small kid early on, that's where his extra speed felt like it came from, is that little bit longer arm swing. So, again, and he doesn't necessarily need it. It's just, you know, like a lot of them, it's hard to get rid of once you've, you know, that's sort of been the pattern.
I'm sure, I mean, the modern golfer now is playing golf more somewhat one-dimensionally. Mm. There is, you know, Brandel Chambly beats the drum that you've got to have all the shots. I was talking to Andy Ogletree about this. He said that he played with Tiger when he was an amateur, and it was just amazing that he had all the shots. He wanted to hit the right shot at the right time. So, but very few players can move it both directions. And I hear so many players that are struggling to get to that next level. And they say, you know, tell me what type of, you know, let me talk, tell me what type of shot you hit. Yeah, you know, I like to move it both ways. And then you watch them and they're not really good at drawing it. Mm. They're not really good at fading it. And I think so many players, Grant, spend an enormous, they're trying to play, they're trying to get good at everything, but they're not really good at anything. They're average to mediocre. Yeah. And I think Cam is a great example, in my opinion. If you're going to make it, and you're going to make it to winning majors and being a superstar, you have to be great and quantifiably great at something. Mm. And it doesn't matter what it is. You can be a great green reader, you can be a great wind player, but there has to be something that you anchor your game to. We all know that Cam, to me, is very much like a Jordan Spieth. You watch him putt. If he's got a 15-footer, you're more surprised if he misses it than you are. You expect him to make it. Was he always a great putter? And where does it come from for him?
So a couple of things. I think one of the things, I'll sort of just backtrack a little bit, but like if you look last year, Cam, one of the things Cam doesn't get enough credit for is his iron play.
Oh, it's a joke. How like
he was, I think, third in strokes gained approaching the green last year. We did a sort of analysis, like, you know, from basically 200 in, like, he was a long way ahead of the rest of the field, right? So, you know, that, his wedge and his short game, obviously his putting. You know, so our goal is if we can get in the fairway just a touch more, very few beat him. So, but with the putting, you know, look, as a kid, he was a good putter. We've always worked really hard on our basics. So, you know, we use a putting mirror every single day that he warms up. You know, even, you know, when I'm there, you know, I'll make sure he's aligned properly. So we're really diligent with his alignment stuff. And then from there, you know, he's very neutral with the delivery of the putter. And, you know, it's hard to sort of mess that up a lot of the times, you know. So we're really sort of big on our basic structure. And then from there, there's also the creativity and the, you know, the desire to hold putts. So I think, again, going back to that competitiveness that I talked about earlier, you know, one of the biggest traits I see of the best players is their ability to hold that 8 or 10 footer for par.
Yeah, it's, you
know,
huge.
And I think there's definitely a, you know, there's an innate skill that they have to be able to keep momentum and things like that. And Kem's always had that, you know, and I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously he's technically very good. He's, you know, he's all those things, but there's his innate ability to hold putts when they need to.
Yeah. And he, when you watch him putt, it looks very natural. And his approach to putting is very natural. He doesn't look like someone that is very, very mechanical. It doesn't look like he does a lot of drills. I think it's interesting what you said, that a lot of the technical work is in what happens before he actually hits the putt.
Yeah.
And I think so many people listening to this are so over technique centric. Everything is technique, technique, technique. And he's doing the majority of his technical work. He's making sure the car's set up. He's getting in the car, making sure all the mirrors are in the right place, making sure that seat's in the right place so he can get comfortable to drive the car.
Yeah.
And how much is Cam putting-wise? How much do you think it's instinct and how much do you think it's his practice and getting better?
I think they're both working with each other. I think, you know, it's fine to be, you know, creative and have great instinct, but if you're not set up and aiming in the right spot, it makes it really difficult, right? So I think he's very diligent with how he gets into the ball. Like you said, he spends, when I say a lot of time, but he's really diligent with how he aims the face, how he sets his body, you know, square to the face. You'll see him put his hand on his leg to sort of balance himself out. And then he just sort of moves his left hand in. And once he's sort of set, he'll, you know, the other thing you'll see with his eyes tracing to the hole. He's got the, you know, like all good putters, they have this real slow trace towards the hole. They'll hold that gaze and then they'll come back and then he sort of pulls the trigger and kind of just reacts to it. So I think, you know, and one of the things for us is, you know, that hasn't changed for a long, long time. So, you know, he this is the same with Cam the whole way through. He's very good at sticking to what we know works. You know, regardless of whether it works all the time, doesn't mean that we don't go, you know, because we know we've got enough evidence now that it works pretty well, right? So, and I think, you know, we talk about sort of his pieces of the puzzle. You know, what are all the pieces of his puzzle, right? They might be not the same pieces that Dustin has or Brooks has or whoever, but they're his pieces, right? And how do we sort of get them operating to the best of our ability as often as possible?
Well, I think that's one of the strengths that Cam has, because obviously there are going to be tournaments where Cam is playing with players and they're going to, you know, Rory, DJ, the Bombers, you know, they're going to run it past him, right? And it's always been something that I think is a strength of his, that he doesn't really seem to be worried about that. And he's not chasing speed. He never comes across as someone that is chasing something that he doesn't have. Yep. Like you said, he seems to be really, really comfortable and confident in the toolbox that he has. And he has a lot of tools in that toolbox. And he says, okay, I don't have that tool, but I have these tools. Yep. And with these tools, I can make something pretty special.
Absolutely. You know, I think early on, you know, there was a little bit that we'd look at guys like Dustin and Brooks and go, well, when they're on, we can't compete. But the reality is, like you said, like Cam's skill set is just different. You know, it's no better or worse. It's just different, right? So we've got really good at knowing what that is. Like I said, you know, he's one of the best in the world from 200 in. You know, when we're hitting the right shapes off the tee and you know, he's making the right moves off the tee, you know, he's world-class and you know, hard to beat as we saw last year. So, you know, I think it's just getting really good at knowing what you bring. And if you know that that's good enough, then staying on track and sticking to, you know, your way of doing things.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The breakout year last year, Players Champion, the Open Champion. I mean, what an amazing accomplishment. Let's go back to the Open Championship. I expected on that Sunday for Rory to birdie three out of the first four, put the foot down, and kind of get that next major. It would have been a huge win in the kind of live kind of versus the PGA Tour thing. He didn't get it done. But I think the way that Cam played on that study, what do you remember about that? And I've always said that when players that I've been lucky enough to be around that win major championships, there's something different about them that week, and I can never put my finger on it. You know, we're just removed. Brooks led the Masters for three rounds. The difference between winning the week before in Orlando on LIV, he was different at the Masters, even though he didn't get the job done, but he had a legit chance. But there was something different, and I'm still trying to figure out what that was. Was there anything that you saw that week that made, looking back on it, that you go, that was just a little bit?
You know, the week before in Scotland, the first two rounds played okay early, and then sort of on that second day, the wind got up a lot, and he almost looked like missing the cut, and kind of ground his way in, and I think made the cut on the number or by one. I can't remember exactly, but only just made the cut, and then played really, really nice on the weekend. Hit the ball great. Everything was just, you know, end up running 10th that week, and there was just a different feel going from that weekend, and it was so important that he made that cut. I think that it sort of just led him into, you know, those two rounds. We got to St Andrews. We didn't do much on the Monday, literally walked with a putter for a few holes and had a chip and a putt. And
I see him do, he's again a little bit of an old school throwback. You don't see that nowadays, right? You certainly don't see that from young kids, right?
No.
You know, in their, you know, under, you know, what's Cam, how old is Cam now?
29.
20, yeah. Right. So yeah. He's in late 20s, but you don't see a lot of world-class superstar players just going around a major with putter. No. Right? You'll see that sometimes, and you know, DJ always says, I don't get that, bro. He's like, I don't understand what guys are doing.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's doing that, when he's out there and he's just walking around with a putter, you know, it's a major champion. What's the thought process behind this, and what actually is he trying to achieve?
Okay, so first of all, you know, he's not treating majors any different to a normal week. You know, I think a lot of guys go into majors, they try and get there early. Like, you know, you see guys.
Augusta is the one where you can over prepare.
Yeah, you know, and the guys are there and they've literally played their tournament before Thursday, right? So Cam had a big weekend. You know, he played really nicely. Actually was feeling a bit off as well, but, you know, just wanted to get a feel. Like, there was almost talk we weren't going to do anything on Monday, right? So he's played there a number of times. So he felt comfortable with that. But he says, look, let's just go for a walk and we'll take a wedge and a putter. And so we just did a little bit for, you know, four or five holes, whatever it was, and then only played nine holes each of the next 2 days. So, you know, did a range session before and a little bit after both days, and he was in and out and ready to go. And then, you know, there was just this sense of calm the whole week, you know, like what you're talking about something being different. Like it was a focused calm though, you know, like it was, you know, I remember it was funny, so obviously he led after the first two rounds, and then the third round, you know, played quite nicely, but didn't putt as well as he had early and shot one over, and walks in and looks at me and just goes, we're going the putting green. And this is like at 9:30 at night, you know what it's like over there. It's starting to get dark. And so we went to the putting green, and it wasn't like it was, you know, we need to fix, you know, but it's just wasn't quite right. we need to do some work. And, you know, as a coach, it's like, okay, this is your time, right? You know, it's like, now, so,
this is your check.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and, you know, for me, it was just, you know, the stroke had got a fraction short on its stroke length and sort of almost had to over-accelerate the putter a little bit and just was about 6 inches under his speed all day, you know. So we just lengthened out the backstroke a touch, you know, got the putter head sort of crashing into the ball a little bit more, got the ball rolling a bit. And, you know, he said to me that night, he goes, I just need to feel it a little bit more into the back of the hole, don't I? And I said, yep, perfect, right? And then sort of reiterated that the next morning. You know, it was just like, but like I said, it was this focused sort of calm. And, you know, because under stress, you know, most people get shorter, they get shorter and quicker and obviously don't execute as well. So all we did was, like I said, lengthened out that backswing a little bit, got the flow of the putter head, you know, a little bit better, and you know, the rest is history, so to speak.
The up and down that he made on 17, in my opinion, it's one of the greatest up and downs in major championship history. I know you were out there walking around. Talk me through what you're thinking in that moment as he's about to have to try and, okay, he's got to, you're like, okay, he's got to get this thing up and down to have a chance. What are you thinking as a coach? Because I've been in that situation before, you know, where a player's trying to win a major championship and I mean, I'm struggling to breathe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I always say I have no idea how these guys do it because the stress that I feel just watching for them to be able to clump. So what are you thinking there? Are you thinking he's going to get this up and down?
So I'll give you a bit of a – so we walked – my son and I walked the front – well, the first 10 holes, right? So, you know, those have been to St. Andrews. There's a little loop down there towards the bottom end. And like, it was just nuts, you know. And Cam didn't birdie 9, which was, you know, one of your birdie chances.
Yeah, that's and at part that of the stage, loop, was, and you know you have to take advantage of it.
And he was kind of still behind then. And then when he didn't birdie that, it was like, oh, you know, I hope that's not our chance sort of lost. And anyway, he birdies 10, and I looked at my son and I said, what do you reckon we do? Do we try and fight the crowds, or do we go back to the, you know, the play of dining and watch it there? And as you know, that's about a 3 kilometer walk back to to get there. So anyway, so him and I run back basically, and by the time we get there, he'd birdied 11, and he had a little short one on 12, which is a birdie chance, and makes birdie on 12, and then Rory doesn't birdie 12, and then he birdies 13 on the back of that, which again is not another real birdie hole. And then when he birdied 14, the par 5, I looked at our sports psych and I'm like, shit's getting real here. Like, you know, this is actually,
there's always,
you know,
that moment where, unless they're leading, right? If they're, when you're working with a player and they're chasing, there's that moment to where as a coach, you have that kind of, you look and you start doing the math and you look at the holes that they've played. Maybe the leader didn't take advantage of it. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, we now have he's got a legit chance with 5 holes left to win a Claret Jug.
Exactly right.
A legit chance.
So then on 16, you know, some of the officials come and got our team and took us up behind the 18th green, you know, just obviously in case Casey wins. And so we're sort of standing up there. So we're watching the putt on 17 from the back of the 18th, right?
Which
so,
you can see. You know what's going on.
You can see him, but you can't see the hole, right? So obviously he hits the putt and the next minute the crowd sort of goes nuts and, you know, obviously it went in. And then we are looking at each other going, okay, this is really – and then, you know, hit a great drive up 18, you know, to hit it where he did and, you know, to two-putt from there. Like, I mean – yeah, it would have been real easy for him to, you know, hit something a bit shorter down the left and try and pitch it up and down, but to hit the driver and to have the, you know, the balls to basically, you know, keep trying to make birdies. You know, one of Cam's things when he's in that moment is he's just trying to keep making birdies. And if somebody's good enough to catch him, great. But he's, you know, like we said earlier, he's trying to move forward, right? So, and then obviously, you know, I think that putt that he actually hit on 18 was just as good as the one on 17, you know, to putt it up there to a couple of feet. And, you know, like you said, I'm standing there thinking I couldn't even hold it, you know, let alone, you know, knock that in. So probably why he's the one doing it and you and I are standing here talking on a podcast, right? So I think, you know, it was an amazing feeling. And then obviously watching Rory come down the last and, you know, would have had to hole a wedge shot and obviously didn't. And, you know, just to look around and think, you know, for me it was such a surreal moment. Like, I'm standing on the back of the 18th green at St. Andrews, you know, looking down as the crowd's coming up the fairway, you know, obviously, you know, didn't work out for Rory, but, you know, the player that I've coached since the age of 10, you know, is winning the 150th Open at St. Andrews, like shot 30 the back nine. Like, he literally couldn't have written a better script. And, you know, just had that moment where I'm just looking around thinking, if this is it for me, I'm good. You know, like I said, I hope he wins more, but if this is all it is, I can retire pretty happy on this one.
He seems to be one of those players that gets to Augusta National. We just came from there. You know, didn't probably play the way he wanted to this year, but He has a comfort level at Augusta. Mm. What do you think it is about Augusta that Cam likes? Because you wouldn't, obviously the putting is a huge asset of there, but he was never a player that everybody went, oh, his game's made for Augusta, his name's made for Augusta. And then all of a sudden, he has a couple of years where you're like,
his game's made for Augusta.
Yeah.
I think, you know, again, those big players, they relish, you know, that situation. I remember he played with Dustin, it's 2018, I think. And, you know, they sort of went around the front nine, just sort of lumbering a little bit. And Dustin was the number one player in the world at the time. And I remember, you know, them talking about, Pinner talking about afterwards, he turned around to us and said, let's get moving. Like, you know, here he is, you know, still at that time, probably relative, not unknown, but, you know, to, you know, unless you're a golfer, you didn't know who Cam Smith was, right? And, you know, he's telling the world number one, let's get moving, like, let's give this a shake. And he shoots 30 the back nine, ends up running fifth, you know, had a putt for 29 on the last, you know, like, just when he gets in that moment. And so that's one thing. The second thing that's massive for Cam is, I think, the creativity that Augusta asks. Yeah. You know, it just really engages him. And, like, you know, he loves seeing where he's got to land and how it's going to feed off that. And especially his short game. You know, I think his control over his flight and his spin, and I might be biased, but is as good as anybody I've ever seen. And I think around there, if you do that well, you know, you can control the ball, right? The guys that don't, you know, get shown up pretty quickly. So I think, you know, the creativity, obviously the putting on those greens is, you know, is very difficult. But, you know, also his stuff around the greens is really, really important as well. So, you know, I think that's, you know, all those things is one of the reasons why he's, you know, he's sort of built for that place.
Well, given the type of player he is and the type of game he has, it's going to sound weird, but I think Augusta allows Cam to play golf, which I think is a huge strength of his, because you have to play the game. Mm. There is an art to playing golf.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think everybody wants to be a tactician. I think Cam around Augusta allows him to somewhat be an artist and kind of shape his way around that golf course. And visually, I would imagine he likes that, because that's the way he sees golf, regardless of whether he's at Augusta or not.
Yeah, absolutely. It engages him. And, you know, so the more, you know, like any player, the more focused in they are on what they're doing, the better they're going to be. But like you said, for somebody like Cam, he wants to be creative. He wants to hit different, you know, it's like his short game. The amount of times I'll see him hit a shot and I'm like, even nowadays, I'm like, I didn't see that. You know, like, I mean, I've been around him forever and I know what he sees most of the time, but sometimes I'm like, man, you know, that's next level, right? I had a guy over, Michael Neff, who's from Gears, you know, and Michael was here this week, and, you know, he got to watch, and he said, I knew it was good because I'd seen it on TV, and he goes, but watching in the flesh, he goes, my God, that is something else. He goes, like, just the quality of the strike, the way he controls his spin, all those things, and I think that's that creativity that comes to the fore around somewhere like Augusta.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Obviously, Cam was one of the guys that made the decision to go to LIV. I'm sure that was a huge decision. I mean, I've got three players currently playing on LIV, but it was a massive decision for DJ. DJ, after he won the Masters, the COVID Masters, he didn't play good for 2 years. And I think he would admit and has kind of admitted, but those of us on his team knew that decision on should I go to LIV, should I not go to LIV, it weighed on him for 2 years and it massively affected his golf. Mm. Once he made the decision, obviously with the way DJ played on LIV last year, I think he freed up. And the decision that Cam made, a lot of people scratched their heads. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he did it? And what conversations did you have with him? And what role did you say, hey, these are the pros, these are the cons, this is what I think you should do, this is what... Talk us through that whole decision.
So I think, you know, he spoke to a number of people about it. I think, let's not sugarcoat the fact that the money was a big driver for all of them, right? But besides that, you know, for Cam, I think the team atmosphere, you know, I remember like when Cam was coming through as an amateur, you know, so we play a lot of interstate golf here in Australia. So, and I remember once he got invited to, there's a junior event, the top 50 juniors play Sage Valley.
Yep. Sage Valley Junior Invitational. Yeah. Great tournament, right. Great golf course.
Top 50 juniors.
Just outside of Augusta.
Yep. Like great opportunity, right? Cam chose to play the junior interstate series at Cabramatta Golf Club. Now, not knocking Cabramatta, you know, but it's not Sage Valley, right? And
every junior in the world's trying to play in Sage Valley.
Exactly right.
If you can qualify.
Yeah, and he chose to play as the captain of that junior team for his state, right? And I think that team mentality is something like Cam, you know, if you ever look, President's Cup, you know, World Cup with Mark, you know, like he loves that stuff, right? So I think the team atmosphere was a big thing. I think the schedule to be able to be home more was a big thing as well. And then, you know, the team ownership, you know, to be a part of something new and exciting that, you know, like is a bit of a gamble, no question. But, you know, I think if you look at what does this look like in 10 years' time, you know, that franchise model, that, that F1 sort of model, I think, you know, you're going on, okay, I think this is going to be amazing and I want to be a part of it. So there's a heap of pieces to that puzzle that made it, you know, the decision. I think I get from a PGA and an American point of view, that's a much harder decision than an Aussie's, you know. It really is because, you know, you talked about the tour. We used to have a tour here and unfortunately the back end of that used to be when all the players from America came home.
It was always November, December.
Yep. So we used to
perfect
have
perfect weather down here. Yeah. The US guys could come if they wanted to.
Yeah. So, and then once the US sort of lengthened their schedule, that stopped all our guys coming home. So I think, you know, and that's why I think it's been so well received here because we've just been starved of that golf that we used to get on a regular basis. So I think there was a number of things, like I said, that made that decision for him. And look, you know, now they couldn't be happier.
Yeah. And I think if you look at the set, I think a lot of people that are critical of LIV, I would say, in my opinion, maybe it'll change after the Masters, but pre-Masters, the majority of the people that were anti-LIV have never come to a tournament. Yeah. They've never been a part of the LIV ecosystem as the players that you and I work with are. Mm. And we've all been a part of the PGA Tour ecosystem for a number of years. You know, I've been working with players on the PGA Tour for 20 years. We know what that ecosystem's like.
Yeah.
We know what that feels like. And I think the interesting thing is I tell people all the time that, you know, the LIV, the strength for a lot of the guys on LIV is I don't think people that aren't a part of the ecosystem don't understand the team concept.
No.
They think, oh yeah, everybody showed up at Augusta and they had to, you know, the amount of questions Cam got in the press conference at Augusta about the fact that he was wearing team logos. I'm like, every player that comes to Augusta National is wearing a logo of something, whether they're on a LIV team or it's a corporate team that's paying them, a clothing team effectively that is paying them, a manufacturer. Everybody has that. the team thing is huge. Do you think that Cam also looked at, I've got an opportunity to play with good friends and people that I really, really like and want to be around all the time, and it just makes my job more. I think it's been crazy when I say to people, everybody looks like they're having fun out on, people go, oh, you guys look like you're having a lot of fun out there. I'm like, yeah, and what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, every sport, every team sport, there has a player that'll say, listen, I want to go to that team because I grew up with guys on that team and I want to play for that team because that's where my boys are.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why golf, everybody wants golf to not be like that.
Well, I think there's a lot of things in that. I think, you know, like you talk about the fun aspect, like, you know, you're going to work for a long time, right? Like, why shouldn't it be fun? You know, and it doesn't mean that the guys are not trying their bums off. You know, like, I think people sort of think that if you're having fun, then you can't be being serious about your job. Those guys, I mean, for me, are working probably harder than they did when they were at on the PGA Tour, right? And again, for me, it's not even about LIV versus PGA Tour. The fact is, like you said, Cam gets to spend, you know, most of his traveling year with good mates, right? They're all playing for a common goal. They get, you know, like I said, that, like a guy like Jed, like I said, he gets to help bring Jed through onto tour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cam, like, has a unique opportunity as a 29-year-old to take a kid like Jed Morgan and be a mentor to him. Yeah. You know, you're trying to mentor kids, and we're not in our 30s, right?
No.
We're not in our early 20s, right? You have an opportunity as a 29-year-old, as a major champion, as a players' champion, to say to a young, you know, Australian player, hey, come on my team,
yeah,
right? And I'll show you how to do this.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and that's so unique. Like, yeah, you look at it, like Mark and Matt are a little bit older than Cam, and they've been out on tour, and you know, like, I mean, as I said, have got great relationships, and especially Mark and Cam, you know, pre the LIV stuff, you know, they were great mates, you know. So, like, why not go? Yeah. You know, like, why not do it? And again, I think it's about part, you know, whilst, like a lot of things at the start, people will want to find reasons why not to. You know, I think the longer this is going on, you know, people just want to be involved. And if you look at, like, this week, you know, the amount of Ripper GC hats that are walking around, like, I think it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, that's what, you know, like you said before, the young kids start to buy into. Like, my son, you know, just bought a LIV jumper for $125 or whatever it was. And, like, he's in, you know, like, he's looking at Cam going, you know, I want to be on that team, you know, so.
And I'm sure you're experiencing this as well with the amount of young players that you work with, not only from a junior standpoint, but people trying to play in other professionals. What I don't think a lot of people realize now is I have high school kids, high school parents, college kids, college parents, and then players trying to play saying, listen, what's the pathway to play on LIV? Mm. Because I don't think that people that aren't involved in it, they just see it, they say, it's an exhibition. There are people that are coming to me now that are saying, listen, that would be where I would want to play.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this week in Australia, you'll start to see people. And I say this all the time, Grant, I'm pro player. The reason why I want LIV to succeed is you and I work with professional athletes and professional golfers.
Yep.
And I think and believe professional golfers and professional athletes should have the exact same opportunities that every other athlete playing every other sport has to try and make as much money as possible based off of your talent.
Yeah, well, I think, and that's one of the things I found interesting, you know, like, you know, a lot of people sort of bag that everybody gets paid, right? Because in golf, you know, we've always had cuts, we've always had people that miss out, and, you know, and I sort of say to people, it's like if you went to work one week, right? And, you know, you turned up at work, and you did a pretty good job week's work, right? You'd paid for your hotel to be there. You'd brought somebody along like your caddy and all this, and it's cost you about $5,000 or $6,000 to be there. And, you know, but the boss comes out and says, you know what? You were good this week, but you weren't good enough, so I'm not going to pay you, but come back next week and have another go, right?
And if you're good
enough. And if you're good enough, we'll give you a little bit more.
We'll give you a little more money.
Yeah, you know, and like, yeah, you can be a backup pitcher for the Dodgers and not pitch a game and still get paid, right? These guys, yep, they're paid entertainment, right? And they should be paid, you know, and I think that's what we've got to change, that mindset that these guys deserve to be paid. They work hard. They spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort to get to where they want to, get to where they're trying to get to. And, you know, they should be rewarded for that.
I was talking to J.R. Smith. I had him on my podcast, but privately, J.R., you know, two NBA championships. He was saying, and we were talking about LIV happening, and he's like, I just don't get it, because he's like, there's guys in the NBA that play 4 to 5 minutes a game and they're making $25 million. And he said, and if the team makes the playoff, they never play, right? They'll never play because they're just a position guy. Yep. The only time they would play is if somebody came in and, you know, got hurt. The money, obviously, Cam's one of the guys. He got the bag. He got life-changing money.
Yep.
Have you noticed any change in him?
Not one bit.
As a person, but no. Also the thing that everybody says is nobody's practicing. They've all gotten the bag. They've all just taken their foot off the gas. They're not competitive. Have you noticed any difference? He did say that he came down probably for the first time in probably 10 years. He was able to come down and have a proper 3-4 month off season, hang with his boys, see the family, and just be a normal human being.
Yep. Yeah, look, as far as his effort, no. Like, he's as professional as ever and probably wants it more, you know, to show people that they are at that level. And I think, you know, the biggest thing I think at the moment for Cam is just, you know, there's an adjustment in him being one of the team owners and the team captains and everything that goes with that. I think, you know, there's a lot more constraints on his time now. You know, I think there's a lot more expectation for him to do certain things. And I think that plays its part in performance, you know, but when it's golf time, he's all in. You know, he's still doing the work. He's not shirking anything. That's for sure.
Lastly, pro mullet, anti-mullet, because obviously one of the great things about Live this week, there's a t-shirt, you can see it online, on social, it's kind of outlined with the hair. There's no way he can cut the hair now, right? I mean, there's just no way that he can get rid of the mullet.
Look, I think, you know, it started as a joke, you know, and if you look back earlier, you know, he sort of said at the time, you know, my mum hates it, girlfriend, you know, but the boys love it, you know, and that's where it sort of started. And that sort of typifies Cam. And I think, but now, you know, like, A, he's played so good since he's had it, and then B, you know, it's part of who he is. So I'd struggle to think that he's going to cut anytime soon. He did say at one stage, if I win a major, I'll cut it. And then as soon as that happened, he went, nah, I'm not cutting it. So I can't see it going anywhere just yet. And, you know, look, just about every kid I coach, including my son, has had it, a mullet at some stage in Australia.
What is it about Australia with the mullet? Because I've never been a place in –
Nah.
I mean, I grew up – I'm 54 in a week. I grew up in the 80s. Every kid in my high school had a mullet, right? Yeah. I mean, it was an old school thing. Yeah. Then the mullet went away. What is it in Oz with the mullet and the cheesy mustache?
Well, to be honest, you know, like, again, I'm not much, but I'm a few years younger than you, and we never had it early on, you know, and then all of a sudden it came back, and it was actually a lot of the rugby league players started having it in Australia, and then, like I said, Cam kind of did it as a joke, and then, like, now golfers have got it, and, you know, like, I'd coach, you know, at least a dozen kids that have mullets, you know, and it's crazy. Like, everybody goes, oh, to be coached by you, do you have to have a mullet? And, you know, like, yeah, so, look, I think it's, you know, one of the things with Aussies is, you know, they're quite comfortable taking the Well, you guys say the Mickey out of each other, and you know, as I said, we'd say taking the piss out of each other. But you know, like, but yeah. So look, we don't take ourselves too seriously generally, and you know, that's evident by Cam's dodgy mustache and mullet. So you know, I think it's here to stay.
Grant, I can't thank you enough for talking to us. And when you work with a kid as a 10-year-old, you know what golfers are like. They're never gonna blame themselves, and they'll switch coaches. The fact that Cam is, and not only that, the fact that Cam has kept you on his team and you're so much a part of his professional life and his personal life, but he's also done this now living in America. It's not like you see him on a regular basis now. You've got to come to him. Yeah. And the fact that he's kept you on his team through thick and thin, I think says a tremendous amount about him, but I also think it says a hell of a lot about you as a person, as a player, I mean, as a coach, and that player-coach relationship. And it's really cool to watch, and I think you're doing a hell of a job with him and a lot of the other players you're working with. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us. So that was Grant Field, and a really good pod. Lots and lots of stuff to take in there. And, you know, you take a player
from a 10-year-old and turn him into a major championship. I can't imagine what that must have meant to be at St. Andrews for Grant and his team and the team around Cam to see that happen and to get, I mean, I've been lucky enough to be a part of that. And when you watch a player that you've worked with win a major championship, it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. Live last week, I was down in Australia. The Aussie fans, I just can't say enough about the way they came out. You can tell that it has been a long time since golf fans in Australia have seen that type of field, those type of players, and they showed up in full force. It was one of the coolest weeks that I've been a part of in my professional career. And just to see the enthusiasm, it really was something really, really cool. I know all the players felt it as well. And I think one of the winners last week, I think Liv made a step forward, if you like. But I think the big winners last week were the golf fans in Australia who got to see some really cool golf. And it was a hell of a week. And hopefully we'll get back down there again next year. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I know we took last week off. I've been on a pretty brutal travel schedule lately. But we've got some really good pods. I've got a lot of good stuff coming. And you guys are going to have some good stuff to listen to in the coming weeks. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, I love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.